I'm really excited to be able to share with y'all today some things that God has been teaching me over the last few years about prayer. Somebody shares something with us, like a really helpful piece of information, whether it's a great recipe or a fitness tip or a Bible verse that really touches a tender place in your heart. Well, you're excited about getting that information, but another part of that is you want to share it with your friends. And so that's what I get to do today. The first and foundational thing I want us to think about when we think about listening prayer and hearing from God is to ask ourselves a question. Do I really believe that God loves me so much and that He wants to communicate with me on an ongoing basis? And of course, we would all say with a resounding yes. The Bible is packed with examples and verses of how much God loves us. Just look at the cross. I want to read a couple of verses for you. In Romans 8:32, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not with Him also graciously give us all things? And then in 38 and 39, it goes on to say, For I am convinced that neither life, death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. When I'm oftentimes shaky or stuck in a place, I can trace my steps back and I can often find several things. One of the things I can find is just a place of unbelief, where I'm not really believing that God loves me. And so it's helpful for me to have strategies when I get in that place to go to kind of help me get back on track. And one of my strategies is just really simple. It's just asking God to give me a verse for that particular situation. And I will write it down, meditate on it. And I often say I have to meditate sometimes by faith, because I can be saying a verse that God has even given me, but it may be here in my head and not really in my heart. And so I keep on keeping on and just saying that verse and saying, God, would you make this true in my heart? Because I'm not feeling it right now, but I know because it's in your word that it is true. Another strategy that I like to use is listening to praise music. And I like to just blast it in my car or my home. Whenever I'm stuck or down or sinking, there's nothing like praise music that just kind of clears the clutter from my mind. And it helps me to refocus on God instead of on my circumstances. And I'm sure y'all have other strategies that you like to use too. Okay, hearing from God is a reality in scriptures. Habakkuk 2:1 says, I will climb into my watchtower now and wait to see what the Lord will say to me and how He will answer my complaint. And then Psalm 85:8 says, I listen carefully to what God the Lord is saying, for He speaks to His people. And then there are a couple of verses there too that I won't read of how God spoke to David and also to Paul. And I want to read you a quote now from my friend Patty Metcalf. Patty taught the prayer conference that Martha and I had the pleasure of attending last fall, and she has a heart for equipping women and teaching them to pray. Patty says, It is helpful to recognize that God's voice often comes as spontaneous thoughts that drop into our minds. We do not analyze or think them up. They are just there, clear and pure. People tend to hear God differently. Some see pictures and images from Him. Others hear His voice as thoughts. Others just know or sense that something is from Him. God will bring pertinent scripture to our minds also, and it will have a special impact on us. Okay, now let's think about the characteristics of thoughts from God. James 3:17 tells us, this is speaking about God's wisdom. God's wisdom is pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, and sincere. His thoughts are also tailored to who we are in our circumstances, and they will fit like a puzzle piece. Okay, now let's think about the many voices that influence us on a daily basis. There's a constant inner conversation going on in our head. Whose voice am I listening to? The first voice is my own understanding. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, that oldie but goodie says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding." And oftentimes when I come to a problem in my life, I will quickly just start strategizing. How can I solve this problem? Who can I call? What resources can I gather? And I'll get down the road, and then I'll realize I haven't even prayed about it. I haven't even asked God about it. And sometimes that's unintentional, and sometimes I kind of wall myself off and as if I can really handle this by myself. But that's not really a good place to stay. Another source of voices is the world. In Romans 12, it says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And the renewing of our mind happens when we apply His Word to our circumstances. And y'all, we are bombarded daily by social media. And it can be positive, but it can also lead us to comparison and a loss of contentment. Another voice that influences us daily is the flesh. And we're all growing in grace, but until we see Jesus, that flesh is still wiggling inside of us, and we have to contend with it on a daily basis. Paul described that so well in Romans 7 when he talked about the battle that he contended with daily, of what he wanted to do and then what he struggled with because of his flesh. And Galatians 5:17 tells us that the flesh opposes the spirit. The next voice is the enemy, Satan. And Satan's name is the father of lies. And his purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy us. But the good news, y'all, is we have the victory. We win. 1 John 4:4 says that greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. The last and best voice of all is that of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is our wonderful counselor, as Isaiah 9:6 tells us. And in Luke 2:26, it says, "It has been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Messiah." And then in Psalm 85:8 again, it says, "I will hear what the Lord, God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people." Okay, how does God speak to us? Let's think about that now. First, in the written word, 2 Timothy 3:16. The second way he speaks to us is in a still, small voice. And I love this story about the prophet Elijah. He was very discouraged. And in 1 Kings 19:12 through 13, it says, "After the earthquake came a fire, and after the fire, a still, small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?'" Another way that God speaks to us is in pictures, images, visions, and dreams. God created our imagination, and he often uses that to speak to us. In Acts 10:11, Peter had a vision. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. And then a little bit later, "Do not call anything impure that God has called clean." And just to give you some context, Peter was not so sure about the Gentiles. He wanted to preach the gospel to the Jews, but he kind of thought, you know, they're kind of second-class citizens. And Jesus was telling him, like in verse 10:28, he says, "God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean, Jews and Gentiles." God was telling him that Jesus is the Lord of both. And he gave him a picture. He sent a sheet, you know, showed him a picture of a sheet coming down with these unclean animals that represented both the clean and the unclean. And God said, they're all the same to me. God also speaks to us in our thoughts. In 1 Corinthians 2, 13 and 16, this is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. Who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? We need a drum roll here. But we have the mind of Christ. Another way that God speaks to us is through other people. And in Acts 2, 36 and 37, Peter is addressing the Jews. This is after the crucifixion and more recently Pentecost. And he was speaking to the Jews who had just participated in the crucifixion. And Peter, you know, confident, he's so confident here. He had just gotten through denying Jesus not too long before this. But he was a changed man. And he says to them, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they, the Jews, heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? God used Peter to speak to these people. These Jews thought their sufficiency would save them, and they had participated in responding with soft hearts and repentance. Okay, how do I test thoughts to find their source and see if they are from God? First of all, is it consistent with Scripture? That same good verse, 2 Timothy 3:16. Second, confirm it with your wise and trusted friends. Bounce it off of your husband or someone that you trust. Third, evaluate your own inner response to a thought. Does it bring you peace or does it create fear? And does it seem to fit with my circumstances? Okay, now let's think about how can we prepare our hearts for ongoing communication with God? The first one is to be brutally honest with Him. And I love the simplicity of Isaiah 1, 18 through 20. It says, come, sit down, let's argue this out. And if you look through the Psalms, you will find over and over again the phrase, how long, O Lord? God knows our hearts. In Psalm 139:1, it says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. So he knows. I mean, he knows what's in our hearts, so we might as well come clean and just agree with him about it. A second way that we prepare our heart is to be humble. In Psalm 141:8, says, I look to you for help, O Sovereign Lord. You are my refuge. And Psalm 25:9 tells us, He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them His way. A third way to prepare my heart is to be expectant. Look for God in your day. Psalm 62:5 says, My soul, wait silently for God alone, for my expectation is from Him. Do I really believe that God has what I need? Something that when my kids were little, I think at a parenting conference or something, I found this pamphlet, and it was called The Treasure Hunt. And the gist of it was so simple that, I mean, you can do it with your kids or just by yourself. At the beginning of your day, just say, God, I know you're here. I know you're going to be with me all day today, and I want to see you. Will you open my ears? Will you open my eyes and help me to see you? And I want to see you. At the end of this day, I want to be able to talk to you about the things that I experienced from you all day long. And it's really helpful. Another way is, well, let me go back. Jeremiah 29:13 tells us, it's a promise, y'all, if you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. A next way that we prepare our heart is to trust Him. 1 Chronicles 16:12 says, keep remembering the awesome deeds that He has done, along with His miracles and the rulings that He has handed down. Okay, that is trusting his faithfulness. A second way we can trust him is trust his character. In Revelation 1:8, this describes our God. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Do I trust his character and his faithfulness? The last one, the way to prepare our hearts, is be willing to act. Sometimes we may sense that God is telling us something, and it may just seem like bits and pieces, but oftentimes this process just helps to train me and develop me tuning in to him. Do I quench the spirit when I sense he's telling me something? Or do I step out and follow what I feel like he's saying to me? And oftentimes, I live on autopilot, and I'm just kind of going to the next thing instead of stopping and saying, Lord, I want to follow you in this decision. I want to follow you in this circumstance instead of doing what I probably could figure out might need to be done. Ask him to lead you in that area. I want to give you an example now. Several months ago, I asked the Lord to give me something new to pray for a loved one. I pray for this person every day, many times a day, and I was just feeling kind of stale, and I just needed my prayer life to be kind of revved up. And I said, Lord, I just need something different to pray for him. So then a few weeks later, I was in the bathtub, and I have some of my finest moments with the Lord there. And I was just thinking about this person, and God worked in my imagination, and I just saw this picture of a landing. In my house, when you go up the steps, there's a landing, and there are several doors. There's a door to a bedroom, a door to the attic, and a door to the bathroom. And I thought, okay, you know, landing, you know, whatever. And then in the next few minutes, I just felt like God was pressing in my heart the words, open doors. And I thought, open doors, okay, splashing, you know, I'm thinking about this person I've been praying for. And I started thinking, and I just felt like he was saying, pray open doors for this person. Pray open doors in his job situation. He had just gotten a promotion. He had new responsibilities. I said, Lord, would you just equip him? Give him open doors in this new position. Equip him with the things that he needs. I pray for open doors in his relationships. Would you send him more people in his path that will point him to you? I pray for open doors spiritually. Would you just open doors for him in that area also? And y'all, I was so excited because I thought, this is so cool because now I can pray this. I mean, I was praying those other things, and there's nothing wrong with perseverance in prayer. But it was just so refreshing to have something different. And the cool thing is when I would be driving down the road after that, and I thought about this person, it just got me on a totally different trajectory. Instead of praying the same things that I was praying where I really wasn't seeing much, you know, answer to prayer, I thought, oh, yeah, I can pray open doors for him in this area today. You know what he's doing today. Open that door in this relationship. And it was so encouraging to me to have that, to pray for someone. And about the same time, I read in a book, and then I also heard a speaker talk about the concept of breath prayers. And that's what I just described to y'all. A breath prayer is just when you ask God to give you something to pray for someone. And it's usually a brief, you know, two words, three words, whatever, a brief phrase. And so that's what I did. And I started doing that for people. And I asked it for a friend of mine who was going through a hard time. And I said, Lord, what can I pray for? I feel like I'm praying the same thing over and over again, and there's nothing wrong with that. And he just said, I just felt like he just said, and when I say, it wasn't an audible, but it was a pressing in my heart, and it was like, peace. You pray peace for her whenever she comes to mind. And so when I would be driving down the road, washing my dishes, say, Lord, bless her with peace in her relationships, in her home, in her family. And so it's a tool that you can use to kind of jazz up your prayer life if you want to and just increase your connection with the Lord. Okay, now I want to read a verse to you, and then we're going to practice some listening. Isaiah 50, 40 through 5, 40 and 5 says, the sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being instructed. The Sovereign Lord has opened my ears. I have not rebelled or turned away. Okay, now we're going to practice listening to Him. We just talked about five ways to prepare our hearts for ongoing communication with God, and I'll review those. It was be honest, be humble, be expectant, be trusting, and be willing to act. Which of these, this is asking yourselves, which of these do I struggle with the most? Is there something that I can do to better prepare myself, my heart, to be receptive to God? Okay, so what I want us to do right now is I just want you, in the quietness of your seats in this room, just ask God to show you and wait quietly in His presence to see what He says. I want you to write down the things that come to your mind. And I will say that the temptation is just to go back and look, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and say, okay, let's see, I probably have a hard time trusting, so I'm going to put that down. Don't do that. Just sit quietly, quiet your heart, and just say, God, would you show me what I have a hard time in, and just let Him tell you. So we're going to take a few minutes and just let y'all do that, and then we'll come back together. Okay, now I want to talk about some roadblocks to a receptive heart. And thank y'all for the first one is fear. Okay, and fear can kind of look different ways. I can have a fear of, like, you know, is He going to speak to me? Or, you know, a fear of what He might say. You know, is He trustworthy? Will He come through for me? And does He really do this? Okay, another roadblock to our hearts being receptive is an unyielded heart. Am I double-minded? Do I say that I want what God wants, or do I really want my way, or maybe some days kind of somewhere in between? And do I really want to hear what He has to say to me? And another roadblock is an overanalysis of my thoughts. Do I run ahead of Him instead of being willing to wait? Go to Him and then be willing to wait. And sometimes I have to ask God to arrest me. And I think of Barney Fife, you know, standing out in the middle of Mayberry, sticking his hand up. And sometimes I have to say, Lord, arrest me, because I'm going down my path with my agenda, with my plans, and will you stop me in my thoughts and help me to come to you and be willing to wait? Because, y'all, it's much easier sometimes not to wait and just to go get in the fix-it mode. And so it's very counterintuitive for us to even do what we're doing this morning, to take time to stop and listen to Him, because we can usually figure out something to do to get over that. Okay, now we're going to do another reflection exercise. This one is about our perspective of God, how we see God. And our view of God greatly affects how we process life. Ask God to speak to you about your openness to Him. Is there a picture or a word that He wants to give you that describes how you view Him? And I'll give you a couple of examples. You know, do I see God as like the Lincoln Monument, you know, in Washington, just frozen, stiff, distant, stiff-arming me, you know, not very approachable? Or do I see Him just sitting in a chair, wide open arms, ready to embrace me, hold me? That's just a couple of examples. But just let's take a few moments and just ask God to show you how you see Him. And then just ask Him what He has to say to you about that. Okay, the last roadblock to a receptive heart, and it's a biggie, is unforgiveness. And sometimes we may even need to forgive God. And of course, God has never done anything that needs to be forgiven for, but oftentimes, especially when we have long-standing issues where we're not seeing our prayers answered, then oftentimes we kind of look around and life's not shaping up the way we had hoped or dreamed, and sometimes we look for somebody to pin that on, and oftentimes it can be God. Subtle types of unforgiveness can show up, because I remember saying, oh, no, I think I'm good with everybody. I don't think I have any unforgiveness. And there's some subtle types that show up that can really cause some problems. The first one is, do I have this feeling that somebody owes me something? I just kind of had this feeling about a person. And an example of that is, say, in a friendship, you know, do I always feel like I'm the initiator and they're the, you know, they never reciprocate? And that can sometimes be, it can sometimes show that a grudge is being held. And maybe there's some unforgiveness there that needs to be dealt with. Just ask the Lord about that. If, you know, something, if there's somebody that you may feel like, gosh, they owe me, you know, they never do this, I'm always doing that. Ask the Lord if there's something else behind that. The second way unforgiveness can show up very subtly is, do I have a body part that hurts? Ask God if there's something that He wants to speak to me about. And think about these expressions, y'all. Pain in the neck, holding a grudge, be a thorn in your side, and get the weight off your shoulders. And I think scientists and counselors agree that we carry emotions in our body, and they can cause problems sometimes. David Siemens is an author, a pastor, and he wrote several books. And in his book, Healing of Memories, he talked about his relief from asthma. And his parents were missionaries, and they dropped him off at missionary school. And I don't think they saw him, y'all, for like years. And that, along with some other family issues that went on, kind of created some issues of resentment towards his parents. But it wasn't until he was an adult and he was suffering from asthma, but he had a prayer session one day with a trusted friend, and they just kind of started talking about his past, and he realized that he had this seething resentment and this unforgiveness towards his parents. And so they prayed and kind of walked through that, and that was kind of the end of that. And within, it wasn't an instantaneous change, but within a few days, he just started noticing he wasn't picking up his inhaler, his asthma symptoms were better, and pretty soon he didn't have any asthma anymore. And so he attributes that to that walking through that forgiveness of his parents. And not that it's going to happen that way all the time, but I think it's definitely something that when we've got a pain or something going on, it's worth asking the Lord about. The next one is, do I feel kind of hurt, or I have said about a situation, oh, that's no big deal. You know, we live in the South, we're so polite, and we may say, oh, that's no big deal, when in reality, it may be a huge deal. And we just kind of go back in our closet or go in the other room and go, oh, you know, roll our eyes. So sometimes when we say it's not a big deal, it really is. And what we need to do is talk to the Lord about that. Maybe we need to forgive someone and to release them and cancel that debt and release that person to, or situation to the Lord. Just a personal example, just in the last year, I have noticed myself just being really critical of a person. And I kept asking the Lord, I said, Lord, what is my problem? I know I'm not supposed to judge. I know I'm not supposed to say these things. What is wrong here? And what He showed to me over time is that I was holding a grudge against this person. There was something that I had not forgiven them for. And that caused me, I just kept judging and judging. And when I was able to settle that issue and just release them and say, Lord, please forgive me for not forgiving them. I was holding them responsible for something that where they didn't live up to my dreams or expectations. So I said, Lord, I forgive them and I release them to You. And that just kind of cleared the air, and it took care of the, I won't say 100%, but it really helped with the judgment issue. Okay, now we're going to do another reflection exercise. Ask God to show you if there's anyone that you may need to forgive. It could be others, it could be yourself, or it could even be God. Just take a few moments and ask Him to show you if there's anyone that fits this situation. Forgive them, release them to God, and ask God to bless that person. And I realize that forgiveness is a process, but just ask Him to just start that process with you right now. So we'll take a few minutes. Okay, well, y'all are doing so great with these reflection exercises. We're going to do one more. Okay, now I want you to take a few minutes and just ask God if there's anything that I'm withholding from Him. Just maybe something that you've kind of squirreled away, kept to yourself, thought you could handle it, either unknowingly or consciously, just kept it back from Him. But ask Him to show you. Try not to think it up yourself, but just say, God, would you show me if there's something that I'm holding back from you? Write it down and just talk to Him about it, and then ask what may be behind it and listen for His response. Well, I just want to thank y'all so much for your sharing. I know this is different than what we usually do, but I appreciate your being vulnerable and being such good listeners. I would like to close with a passage from Isaiah. This is 43:1-4. But now God's message, the God who made you in the first place, Jacob, the one who got you started, Israel, don't be afraid. I've redeemed you. I've called your name. You are mine. When you're in over your head, I'll be there with you. When you're in rough waters, you will not go down. When you're between a rock and a hard place, it won't be a dead end. Because I am God, your personal God, the Holy of Israel, your Savior. I paid a huge price for you, all of Egypt with rich Cush and Seba thrown in. That's how much you mean to me. That's how much I love you. I'd sell off the whole world to get you back, trade the creation just for you. I'm going to pray. Father, we come before you right now and just praise you and thank you for your amazing love for us. Father, thank you for your faithfulness and for your character, that you pursue us, Lord, that you come after us even when we're running the opposite way. Father, I thank you for these women. And Lord, I just pray that these times of reflection today would just encourage them in spending more time just sitting and listening to you whisper to them. I pray that they would be convinced in the very deepest places of their heart how much you love them. That every time they hear the word Easter or see a cross, Lord, that they would just be reminded of the price that you paid for them. Father, may they know their value and their worth. And Father, I pray that they would have many experiences this week of listening to you, connecting with the one who loves them so much that you gave your son for them. Thank you for these women. In Jesus' name, amen.